Well, we're turning to our New Testament reading in Mark's Gospel, and this morning just looking at faith and the blessings of faith. I want to take you to Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. How do we obtain all that we need from God Himself, a God and only Him can supply our greatest and deepest needs? How do you obtain these things from God? Is there a principle given? Well, it is by faith. Always by faith. Not effort. Not achievements. It's by faith we obtain. This father of the possessed son that came to the Lord, or rather the Lord came to him because he'd been on the mountaintop with Peter, James, and John and wonderfully transfigured in that amazing event of what we know as or term the transfiguration of Christ, when just for some brief time his deity was radiated and emanated and was so clear to those that were there, Peter, James, and John. And with that vision, that sight of the supremacy, the majesty, the glory, the identity as the Son of God, so clearly revealed, they come down the mountain and they discover a crowd around the rest of the disciples. And when the Lord inquires what's happening, of course he has this poor, deeply troubled father say, "I brought my son to your disciples to cast out this demon that so torments him." And as the Lord discovered in his questioning, this had happened to this boy from childhood. Now, the great Bishop J.C. Ryle of a bygone era, in applying this, says, you know, Satan is about his business to harm the children as soon as he can get them. He says, so we must be about our business of bringing the children to Christ as quickly and as soon as we can. Parents, grandparents, those that know them, befriend them, pray much for them. For the powers of darkness are out to claim them, out to influence them, out to harm them, out to mislead them, out to fill their little minds and hearts with the false notion that the world can satisfy them and they don't need their creator, they don't need their maker. No, we are about the business, and rightly so, of instructing the children. Says Ryle, notice, when Christ asks, how long has this been the case with this boy? He said, from a child. Well, we have to bring the truth. Pray at home. Grandchildren, children, those you love, think of what the world's trying to do constantly. Mold and shape that mind. Now, you be about the business of looking to Christ. And wonderfully, in this boy's case, this is what happened. Christ comes down the mountain. Now, notice though, and again, how do we obtain the blessings that we need from God? What hope for the world? What hope for us in anything? To be delivered, to be forgiven, to be saved, to live as Christians in this corrupt and rotten world that oppresses, persecutes anything remotely associated with the Lord Himself. All by faith. Notice verse 23. The Father appeals, he says, if, end of verse 22, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Well, what a simple appeal. What a plea. And that from his heart, you can almost hear him, can't you, in the words. You can understand his plea. If there's anything you can do, anything, have compassion on us and help us. Why, if there's one thing that's bound to achieve what you desire and seek, it's that humble seeking of help from the Lord. Do you humbly seek him? Do you expect, presume, or with great unbelief, even pray? Well, it won't happen anyway, but I'll give it a go. I'll pray. When you get to having your heart in something and you just pour it out to the Lord, you can be sure there's help coming. Well, this man appeals on that ground. But notice this principle that runs throughout not only the scripture, but in the very experience of all that have come to have the help of the Lord. And it's this, verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now then, that raised a question to this man and for him. It gave him a dilemma. For you notice his response. Verse 24, straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Is that where you are? You want to believe. This is the principle. Every blessing the Lord has for his people, for any, it will come through faith. By, through faith. That's what he underscores. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things, of course, in accordance with the will of the Lord. Not just all things in their entirety. Not greed and wealth, where the Lord would see that would destroy us or harm us. Not anything that would harm us would he include in a promise like this. But he's promising all the great blessings, all that will work for our good, all that will work for our benefit, all that will bring glory to him. So, if thou canst believe, all these things are possible. But notice then, the Father cries out, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Well, there's a contradiction. He believes, but he doesn't. See, and this is where you get to. This is where often seekers of the Lord find themselves. Believe? Well, they say, I do believe. But they know that's just mental assent. That's just mentally agreeing with what they read, what they hear, what they've been told concerning Christ and his work. But they know that's not Bible belief. That's not faith. Now, faith comes from the heart. Faith comes from the soul. Faith is something deeper. And this man racks his brain, as it were, and looks within himself, and he says, I believe, but I don't believe. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Well, what do you do if you find yourself there? What's the first response to that? And many that are seeking the Lord for salvation get to this place. They hear salvation is by faith in Christ. And then they say, what's faith? And then they'll say, I know what faith is. It's believing. It's trusting. And then they feel, but I can't trust. I'd like to. What is this trust? I want to trust him. But they're struggling. They're like this man. Lord, I believe. Well, they should pray like him. Help thou my unbelief. That's where you go. With that doubt. With that fear. With that inability. What's the first thing you do? You stay with Christ. He's the one that's spoken to this man. He's told him what the solution is. That he will obtain help. If he can believe, he will not only obtain help, he will see his son healed. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. Well, if you can't, do what this man did. He's struggling, so he cries out, Lord, help me with this. So what do? You take it to Christ. What if that man had turned round? What if that man had just said, Lord, I believe, but I don't believe? What if he never framed his words in such a way as to make the request, help thou my unbelief. Lord, I want to believe. I'll go and see what I can do. I'll go and look up the scribes, the Pharisees, all the deeply religious people. I'll go to the church. I'll go and see if I can work it up. What have I got to do? I'll get my books down. I'll start to read. I'll study. I'll delve into it. What is faith? I'll look at it from every angle. I'll look at the greatest theologians and what they've written, what they've said. What if he'd done that? He'd missed his opportunity. All he had to do, which is what he did do, was stay there. I'm struggling. I want to savingly believe in Christ. I want to savingly believe. I want to trust you, Lord, to see this wonderful miracle performed. This help no one else can give me. Nobody else can achieve. Lord, you can do it. How do I get it? Lord, I believe then. Help thou my unbelief. Just speak to the Lord. Bring your fears. Bring your doubt. Your weak faith. And listen, Christian, this is for us. As you know, the greater the faith, the greater our comfort. The greater our blessings. The greater our strength. The greater our achievements. In the real sense of serving. Of commitment. Of persevering, of conquering certain sins in the life. How do you do these things? How do you overcome the character flaws, the sins that so easily beset us? Besetting sins, secret sins. How do I overcome that area of my life where I fail and I fall again and again and again? Faith. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. Now, how does faith work? Well, again, if it's for salvation, just bring your lack of faith to the Lord. And you notice the response here, don't you? I mean, he says, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. What happened? Well, the Lord did what he was looking and what he asked for. Did he impart that little grain of faith? Enough, sufficient for the man then to be so blessed? Didn't he deal with him? Didn't he heal his son? Didn't he cast the demon out? Well, of course, he's compassionate. He cares. Bring your fears to him. And all I'm going to do today is show you how faith works. The Lord showed this in a remarkable way, in one of his miracles. He did something that's quite unique. And you get that just a couple of chapters back or really a chapter back in Mark chapter 8, and I just want you to turn there. As you know, most of the Lord's miracles were instantaneous. They didn't require time. They didn't require two stages or come back next week, a bit like the doctor's appointment. Well, go away, take those tablets, come back in a week's time, we'll see how you're doing. And we'll repeat the prescription or we'll try something else. When the Lord chose to heal, that was it. But of course here, and this is one of those, and is this a unique miracle that the Lord didn't heal instantaneously? Now, why did he do what he did in the healing of this blind man in Mark chapter 8? So Mark chapter 8, verses 22 to 26. Let me just read them to you. And this is a picture of the way faith works. Of the way developing faith works. Keep that in mind. Faith grows. Faith is to develop. Faith doesn't see everything immediately. Everything doesn't come to you. We are to gradually be given understanding and light, and our faith deepens. If you're a Christian now, your faith should be much deeper than it was 5 years ago. It should be growing. It should be deepening. It should be stronger. There are things that shouldn't trouble you. If they troubled you 5 years ago, we should have grown, Christian. We should have advanced. And the Lord shows this in this miracle. In verse 22, Mark chapter 8. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Now, he's healed blind men before. He doesn't need to do it this way. Has he lost some of his power? Well, that would be impossible. This is the omnipotent Son of God. But this man says, well, I'm partly healed. He's blind, but now he says, after being anointed and the Lord spitting and touching his eyes, he said, well, I see people, but they're like trees. It's fuzzy. It's hazy. I can't clearly see them. Now then, next verse, 25. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. Now, why two-stage healing? Well, he's explaining in his miracle, here's a picture, disciples, for how faith develops. How understanding develops. You won't see everything at the beginning. It has to grow. It has to develop. Faith can be instantaneous. But faith, increasing faith, saving faith can be instantaneous. But the faith that acquires, the faith that deepens, the faith that needs to grow, and it must grow for our own comfort, for our own effectiveness, then it will come in stage. It doesn't all come at once. He couldn't see clearly the men. Was a second touch, then he can see. This is faith growing. This is faith developing, as it were. And it's just an illustration. The Lord could have healed them straight away, as you well know. So keep that in mind. But it is to grow. That's the thing. Your faith should be growing. It should have advanced. It should have deepened. It should be stronger. But is it? Well, there are certain other things that will lead to the strengthening of our faith. And that's often why the Lord puts us in different, difficult situations and circumstances. Why, when everything seems to be flowing so well and so good, then all of a sudden it all falls apart. Why? Well, because the Lord wants your faith to grow. He doesn't want infant faith. He wants strong faith. He wants that increasing faith, deepening trust in Him, deepening awareness and knowledge of Him and His attributes. Not just that you know them intellectually, but you experience them in your life. And that's important in a world that will throw everything at you to bring you down. And your own deceitful heart as well. So we are to be a growing people. Growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Growing in our faith. So I've just got a number of things that are prerequisites really to growing or deepening faith. And I'm going to go through them quite quickly. But number one, how does faith come in the first place? Well, that often quoted verse, Romans 10 and verse 17. You could quote it without turning it up, but I'll read it for accuracy. Romans 10, 17. How do you get faith at all? How do you begin with saving faith so that then the faith that you do have can increase and develop and deepen? Well, Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Is your faith deepening? Has it been deepening? Is it growing? Are there things you have faced in the past that give you such concerns and troubles and you're wrestled with? But now, because your faith has deepened and grown, you can overcome them. You can see the way through. They don't trouble you anymore. Well, if so, faith has come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Those that place themselves under God's word, every opportunity to do so. Those that read, those that feed. And listen, when it says faith cometh by hearing, it doesn't mean you sitting there week by week and listening to the Bible being explained or expounded. That's just one part of it. It won't come if you put on, as some people have, as you know, I'm sure they've developed now CDs, DVDs, if you want to see someone as well as hear them read the Bible out for you. Used to be just the old cassette tapes, and you had the Bible on tape, and you could set the Bible on, you could walk about the house, you could hear the word being read. Does faith come by hearing? Only hearing? Does this text mean just sit under the word? Use your ears. I hear it. My faith is growing. That's not how it grows. That's not even what it means. It means if you hear and then you obey what you hear, you respond to it if a response is required. That's what you do. So you hear, but you meditate. You think deeply. And you respond to what you hear. Many people heard the words of Christ. Did their faith grow? No, they rejected Him. But those that heard, believed it, were obedient to it, their faith grew. That's the way it works. Are you reading your Bible just to say, well, I read the Bible? Are you reading it to get something from it? Are you earnestly, prayerfully reading so that you might grow? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Is the minister the only person you hear reading the scriptures, or the only source of receiving them that you have? You don't read it yourself. One week to the next, I just don't read. I don't have the time. Your faith, if it's existent, if it's real at all, is going to stay like the infant. And come the great battles in life, you're going to be struggling all the way through. No, read. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When the disciples heard Christ and he gave them an instruction, did he not expect them to do it? That's how faith comes. That's how faith grows and develops. Secondly, of course, faith will grow once we're united to Christ by saving faith. Our faith will grow and deepen when we are or have and hold regular communion with Christ. Well, one from the other. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Hearing the word of God, we're meeting Christ all the time. We ought to be looking for him, for he's there in all the scripture. But it's communion, isn't it? The more often you're in the Lord's presence, the more often you're in his company, individually, on your own, at home, you get alone, don't you get to know someone better the more often you meet up with them? When you meet someone initially that's a stranger to you, you know very little about them, you know nothing. But the more times you're in their company and in their presence, the more you get to know them. Is this person trustworthy? Is this person an honest person? Is this person reliable? Is this person a good friend? Is this person somebody I really want to be with very often? You get to know all those things. Well, when you're in the presence of Christ, the more often you are, why, the stronger you become. Your faith can't help but grow, for the more often we're in his presence and experience his love, his compassion, his kindness, his gifts, his mercy, the grace that he supplies us, the instruction he gives us, the assurance he gives us, that comes by being constantly, often in his presence. Do you labor at that? Is that a priority in our life? In what comes daily? Oh, well, I've got so many other things. Well, so had Martha. Martha was so, so busy. Lord, tell that Mary. What's she doing just sitting there listening to you? You tell Mary to get up and help me. And she got a little rebuke, didn't she? Mary's doing the one thing needful, the one thing more important than all the other tasks in life. Mary's spending time with me. Mary's faith would be growing. Communion then. Thirdly now, service. This isn't just a thing we flog, you know. Oh, here he goes again. What are you doing for the Lord? Listen, that's how faith grows. It's like a muscle. You know the term, use it or lose it. If we're serving the Lord and exercising faith, and that's what we do in service, even our failures are things that the Lord will bless to us and use to strengthen our faith. Because what happens in service? You start to find out your weaknesses. You start to discover things about yourself that you wouldn't know any other way. I'm serving. I need this. Oh, I've left it late. Oh, I haven't prepared that. Oh, I haven't done this. I'm not serving. I've got no service. Well, that's one way of your faith deepening. As you serve Him, you grow. You learn about yourself, about Christ, about Him. The things you lack, the things you need, and little service, little growth. No service, no growth. Faith won't grow. In fact, many that never ever get involved in a service for the Lord often show, sadly, the spurious nature of their faith because they just drift backwards and they drift out of the faith altogether. See, service is what trains and hones and increases, develops the spiritual muscle, if you like. Exercise. Service is exercising our faith. Fourthly, and I need you to turn, so I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and we looked at this on Tuesday past. But chastisement, trials, often means of chastisement of the Lord. This is a means to developing our faith. And you'll see in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11, you have these words, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." And that's the key part. If the Lord brings me through some very stressful, difficult time, a trial, you can term it a chastisement. It's how the old writers would have termed it. Not just, chastisement doesn't just come when we're naughty and bad, when we've fallen into some great sin. Of course the Lord will chastise us if we do that and we're His. But chastisement is every struggle. That's how the old writers used the term. It was all the discipline, all the struggles. I used the illustration on Tuesday of a parent bringing up a child. Chastisement would be your rebuke, maybe even on a daily basis. Don't do that. May only be verbal. Necessarily mean you're giving them a slap or a smack or using a stick or a rod. It can be just verbal, but it's a chastisement. It's a correction. And in fact, the term that's used here has the word child within it. It's the disciplining of a child. So you're instructing, you're teaching, you're telling the child off for their good, for their benefit. If they are exercised by that, it brings peace. It brings greater peace to them. I don't do that again. I know I'll be corrected if I do that. I can escape the correction because I don't do that anymore. Now, here's how faith works with chastisement. If and when we're chastised, why, if it's something stronger than verbal, and it is at times, isn't it? We need correcting. And the scripture says, if we don't be corrected by the Lord, it's an evidence we're illegitimate, we're not true children of His. But He chastens and corrects every son, every child that He receives. So this is part and parcel of the Christian life. We're being corrected. Now, when we are exercised by the correction, then it produces, says the text, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Well, one of the peaceable fruit of righteousness is evidently, obviously, faith. Your trust grows. Here's a loving Father correcting me. He sees this will hurt me. This is harmful. This is not glorifying to Him. This belongs to the old worldly life. This belongs to the old man, the old nature, the fallen nature. But now, I'm in Christ. I am to pursue holiness, without which no man shall see, that is, see favorably the Lord. So when I'm chastised, I don't gripe, I don't complain. I don't say, why me? Why have you done this? Why this way? No, if I accept that as from a loving Father, I'm going to grow. My faith's going to deepen. I'm going to understand this is for my good, my benefit, my blessing. This will lift me up. No chastening's pleasant, says the writer. No, indeed, it can often be quite grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So don't grumble at chastisement. The Lord's developing faith. Other fruit with it, of course, the peaceable fruit of righteousness. He's training you. He's bringing you. It's the bitter medicine. Doesn't taste so good. But oh, it's to make you well. Well, quickly. Petition. Ask. How do I get strong faith? How do I have faith at all? Remember what the man did. Lord, I believe. I so desperately want to. If that's the way to obtain your help, to trust you, believe in you, implicitly, without a shadow of a doubt. Lord, how do I get it? Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. So petition. Ask Him for faith. Quite literally, ask for greater faith. Lord, let me grow. Lord, increase my faith. Petition Him. Oh, for that, James says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, specifically for wisdom. We can ask specifically for faith. Oh, my faith is so weak. You know, some Christians, and they've been Christians 30, 40 years. My faith is so weak. Why? Why? Well, I thought my faith would have grown by now. I thought I would have been stronger. I thought I'd have been, more trusting. But things seem to cause me as many problems and concerns and fears as they used to. Why? Well, one of the reasons is they didn't ask for faith. You know, Matthew 7, verse 11. When the Lord was explaining how kind, how gracious, how much the Father wants to give us the things that are good for us. He said, if your earthly fathers being evil, being in and of themselves, fallen and corrupt beings, that's what he means. He doesn't mean they're all, Caligula's, some Roman emperor that would kill their own children. No, when he says, if your earthly fathers being evil, being fallen, being tainted by sin, which has affected everything. If they, being evil, know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more your heavenly Father will give good things to them that ask Him? Do you actually sit down and ask Him? And ask for faith? Of course, we have to be obedient to Him. And then, lastly, evangelism. Witness. Your faith will grow if you profess your faith. Are you a secret disciple? I'm not sure such people really exist, but I can see that we're different in temperament, in character, and not everybody can go onto the street and talk to people or engage. No, for some it's a gentler way. It's maybe not so often as others either. That's fine. Do you profess your faith, though? Does anybody know you're a true Christian? Can you, in all honesty, look someone you work with or sit beside and say, if a discussion comes up or something is said, do you know, I'm a Christian. I'm a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been converted. Could you honestly say that without a twinge of, oh, is this real? Could you say that? You say, I thought it worked the other way round. I thought you need faith so that you can witness. Well, you're seemingly saying, if you witness, you get faith. No, you're saved already. And yes, that's the way it works. The more you profess, the more you come out. Let's take the words from a certain community that likes to talk about coming out. Christians should come out. We should be coming out and saying, you know what? I'm a Christian. I believe in Christ. I think I've got something to say in this conversation. I think I can give you truth because it's God's word. Now, do you attempt to witness? Maybe that's what you've been doing. When I get more faith, when I grow in faith, then I'll speak more. No, I'll tell you what the Lord says. You speak more, then you'll get more faith. Because your faith will grow. You'll affirm the very truth that you're stating. It'll be affirmative to yourself. You're affirming your belief, your trust in Christ, as you tell others. So can you? Maybe you can't, because you're not converted. But if you were, then you can tell others. Then you know the truth. Then you glorify the Lord. Remember what he said? Whoever denies me before men, and you can deny the Lord by your silence, just as much with your words. Whoever denies me before men, I will deny before the Father, before the angels of heaven. But then he said, whosoever confesses me before men, and surely you would want to, I will confess him, her, before the angels, before the Father. So there's an encouragement. Make sure that you can. Make sure you live for the Lord while you have the opportunity.